Chapter 26. Never before in the history of warfare had there been a continuing explosive. Indeed, up to the middle of the 20th century, the only explosives known were combustibles whose explosiveness was due entirely to their instantaneousness. And these atomic bombs which science burst upon the world that night were strange even to the men who used them. Those used by the Allies were lumps of pure corallinum, painted on the outside with an oxidized cytonator incisive enclosed hermetically in a case of membranium. A little celluloid stud between the handles by which the bomb was lifted was arranged so as to be easily torn off and admit air to the incisive, which at once became active and set up radioactivity in the outer layer of the corallinum sphere. This liberated fresh incisive, and so in a few minutes the whole bomb was a blazing continual explosion. The Central European bombs were the same, except that they were larger, and had a more complicated arrangement for animating the incisive. Always before in the development of warfare the shells and rockets fired had been but momentarily explosive. They had gone off in an instant once for all, and if there was nothing living or valuable within reach of the concussion and the flying fragments, then they were spent and over. But corallinum, which belonged to the beta group of Hislop's so-called suspended degenerator elements, once its degenerative process had been induced, continued a furious radiation of energy, and nothing could arrest it. Of all Hislop's artificial elements, corallinum was the most heavily stored with energy, and the most dangerous to make and handle. To this day it remains the most potent degenerator known. What the earlier 20th century chemists called its half-period was 17 days. That is to say, it poured out half of the huge store of energy in its great molecules in the space of 17 days. The next 17 days' emission was a half of that first period's outpouring, and so on. As with all radioactive substances, this corallinum, though every 17 days its power is halved, though constantly it diminishes towards the imperceptible, is never entirely exhausted, and to this day the battlefields and bomb fields of that frantic time in human history are sprinkled with radiant matter, and so centers of inconvenient rays. What happened when the celluloid stud was opened was that the incisive oxidized and became active. Then the surface of the corallinum began to degenerate. This degeneration passed only slowly into the substance of the bomb. A moment or so after its explosion began, it was still mainly an inert sphere exploding superficially, a big, inanimate nucleus wrapped in flame and thunder. Those that were thrown from aeroplanes fell in this state. They reached the ground still mainly solid, and, melting soil and rock in their progress, bored into the earth. There, as more and more of the corallinum became active, the bomb spread itself out into a monstrous cavern of fiery energy at the base of what became very speedily a miniature active volcano. The corallinum, unable to disperse, freely drove into and mixed up with a boiling confusion of molten soil and superheated steam, and so remained spinning furiously and maintaining an eruption that lasted 4 years or months or weeks according to the size of the bomb employed and the chances of its dispersal. Once launched, the bomb was absolutely unapproachable and uncontrollable until its forces were nearly exhausted, and from the crater that burst open above it, puffs of heavy incandescent vapor and fragments of viciously punitive rock and mud, saturated with corallinum, and each a center of scorching and blistering energy, were flung high and far. Such was the crowning triumph of military science, the ultimate explosive, that was to give the decisive touch to war. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.